in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program. Tonight, the Bible study on this Tuesday, 20th of January, 2014. Oh, it's snowing here. Bad, Mount Airy. Well, that's dependent. It's all relative, isn't it? I can say it's snowing bad here, but up in Massachusetts, they say, boy, what are you talking about? If you want it bad, it's up here and up north. Family, it is going by the book. You got all these smart people running around up in, well, you know, they are. They're smart up in the Pentagon and all these places. Colleges, professors, all kinds of stuff. You just really wonder, why can't they see it for what it really is? I mean, if you hear some good argument about evolution, you hear some good argument about, well, you can call it a good argument, about theology that Jesus put out and arguments about the Bible, and they come up with a really definite, or they have eyewitnesses, diagrams that the Holocaust didn't really happen and all this stuff. They have, all of them have very, very convincing radio shows. Or guests, or whatever. That we have a, you know, now it's a caveman that has blue eyes. He's like 300,000 years old, or something. And they determine on bones that he's got blue eyes because of the gene. You know, oh man, blue eyes, blonde hair. You know what they're doing? They're setting up for Sinan d'Emmanuel. All this, everything's geared toward this disclosure. Preparing the way. when you start to, you say, well, I want to start crops. I want to grow some corn and potatoes and all this. You just don't say, well, here's the seeds and just start throwing them out. And somebody say, what are you doing? I'm starting a garden. You'll say, Tom, when's the last time you did a garden? I never did. Well, it's obvious. I say, why? Because you got to open the rows. You got to make rows. You got to make a field. You got to make rows in the field. You got to do this and do that and all this that you got to do. And you can't plant potatoes in the wintertime. Why? Because the ground's too hard. Oh, you see, you got to do certain things. You got to prepare. You got to do it the proper way. That's a real simple example. Well, that's what they're doing. They're preparing mankind to accept the paradigm that's coming. They always plan centuries ahead. This is a Luciferian agenda that's so well thought out. It was said back in 1782. It's so well thought out and planned that it would be impossible for the monarchy to escape it. That was in 1782. Family, we're up against the supernatural. That's a fact. It's a supernatural war we're in. It's spiritual warfare. Using mankind as pawns in the game. There's a song out by this group called Kansas. Someone sent me. And I used to like Kansas back in the day. The group called Kansas. And I don't recall off the top of my head the name of the song, but I'll think of it here in a minute. But as it starts off in the video, shows a man dressed in black and a man dressed in white robe playing on a checkerboard kind of board with these, like a chess game. And it's in black and white, of course. And the song's a neat little song, but it's about playing a game. It's play the game tonight. But the video is most certainly showing the good and evil playing each other on a chess game. And that is the subliminal message. It's not accidental. But there is no good and evil residing on the same playing board. That's the issue. Good and evil cannot occupy the same space. North and south ends of a magnet is more like it. But they say duality. You know, it's even reflected in that My Little Pony cartoon. Now they have bronies, adults acting like children as bronies. And military, it's like a group or a cult or a, I don't know. It's cute, but it's not cute. They don't understand what they're doing. They've got a Ouija board now that they painted pink. A pink Ouija board. To make it less threatening. Family, do you understand how evil these people are? I mean, people have no idea. They, you know, these two boys were, you know, this really torques my jaw, but two young boys, teenagers, set this little possum on fire and took a picture of it on their cell phone, and they got arrested for it because they put it on the cell phone, and they traced it. Arrest them, and they're going to prison, which I think is a good deal. That they're going to prison because, you know, that's the way I am about animals. You know, that you do something to a bat, you know, you're doing something to something living, and you go to jail or whatever happens. It's just the way I feel about it. I don't care if it's a possum or a rat or what. You know, you don't torture an animal. You know, no, sir. No. But you think that's bad. Family, you have no idea. Some people have no clue what they do to children, what they do to adults in their sacrifices. People have no idea. The movies pale in comparison to the reality of what they really do. And these are a lot of your major political leaders, CEOs, military leaders in all the countries. or in the Luciferian. It's all about Luciferian. It's not one country against another or all that. That's just facade. You know, wars are nothing but a facade to keep people busy. Other real reasons. This is where we are. It's what really happens. We're made to fight each other. Do we have enemies? Yeah, but they're made enemies. The ones at the highest level are pulling the strings. I mean, it's just unfathomable what's really going on at the highest level. It's amazing. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now before I get started, because you know when I get started, I just get on a roll, I guess. But Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we thank you. We're very thankful that you was able to, Father, provide us a network that we can share and continue on our own network. Lord, we appreciate this much. Thank you, Father. Father, we certainly thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. That, Father, we can't save ourselves, but through him we are saved. Father, we thank you for your blessings and your miracles that you perform. That, Father, you let us know in subtle ways and through the Holy Spirit of how you're there. Father, we know that end times coming, that the times of tribulation are upon us, that soon these tribulations will break out. But Father, we call upon you to give us that discernment and wisdom, that we can see through the evil, we can see through the deception, and Father, to give us the courage and opportunity of which we can sound the alarm, that we can witness to others about the love of Jesus. Father, keep us protected by the blood of Jesus, that, Lord, to keep us protected from the Wicca, from the Satanist, and all this like. And Father, to lead us in the right path, keep us from being deceived, and that we can see and do all the evil that's going around us. And Lord, to be able to bring out the good and salvage what we can, Father, through your Holy Spirit, about getting involved. And Father, give us the courage and protection we can get involved. And whatever our missions are, whatever our skills are, that Lord, you'll use them. We pray for our family members, Lord, to protect them from all these attacks and the vaccines and the chemtrails and the demonic attacks that's happening. Lord, you protect them with the blood of Jesus. And use these times, Lord, that you'll lead them to salvation. That, Lord, through their free will, but Father, by the divine appointments, that through their own, they'll accept Jesus as Savior. Father, we pray for that anointing, to prepare us for that anointing, Lord, for those that's going to be anointed, that, Lord, you prepare them and then raise them up, Lord, to start preaching the truth on a major scale. Father, guide us tonight as we share the gospel, and Father, to learn about end times and just learn in our own epiphanies and our own wisdom, that, Lord, through that wisdom will come through the Holy Spirit. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, right now, it's slow. It's going to pick up. Man's going to do what man has to do to solve these problems. But it's not going to work. Right now, they don't know that. They're going to find out later. That's when you all come in your respective areas, and people you've talked to before, and the harvest is not ready yet. Oh. But the planting's been going on for quite a while. Satan knows that. He's going to set people upon you to try to pull you away in various ways, to get you pulled into locations, buildings, organizations, movements, troubles and trials to keep you distracted. It's a benefit. It's a, not for you, but it's a benefit. It's a reward. It's something to, for those that's been tasked by Satan. Some of them don't even know it. To pull you away from your mission that God's assigned you. And to confuse you. It's a feather in the cap of those that are designated, assigned to you. It's going to come from family. It's going to come from outside. And it's going to come from unusual places. To pull you away from your worship, from your study, from your opportunities, from your divine appointments, from your own development. Be very aware of this. And even from yourselves. When you start reading all this mumbo jumbo stuff about the blood moons coming, or trying to predict who the Antichrist is, trying to figure out, you're never going to figure out who it is. Nobody's ever going to figure out when the second coming's coming. It ain't started yet. No one will ever figure out, never, ever figure out when a rapture's going to happen. And yet to keep doing it. Whether they know they're doing it or not, is to keep you all busy. It's never going to happen. The prophecy was written in such a way that when it does happen, you'll be able to recognize it as such. But if God wanted people to figure it out, Satan would have figured it out already. Or had his minions or somebody would have figured it out. It's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years it's been. Nobody's going to figure it out. But you'll know it when it happens. And the Spirit will say, ding, 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 there's the first seal. You'll know it. Now, Satan knows this. You know why? Because he does not have wisdom nor discernment. He wants to tap in to a born-again Christian or to Christians. He wants to tap into that so he'll know when the rapture is going to happen. So he'll know when the second coming is going to happen. Because he don't know. So they're trying to make up their own tribulation, their own Antichrist, their own everything as a false. How does he do this? As John Todd said, and I understand it now, is to have a Christian put a spell upon themselves. And I go back to what I said a few minutes ago. By you going into a building, or to a seance, or to some place that you know that you should not be, you've now given you've now given permission for those demons to come inside you to be demonized. You see? Right now, I've got my drawer here. I got one, two, and a messed up drawer too. Fortune cookies. Now, I like the cookies, you know, but I'm not going to read the fortune. I mean, literally, when I opened up this fortune cookie, and I got that little slip of paper that says something about fortunes, I throw it right in the trash can. When I go through the newspapers, now this is just me. Y'all do what you want. I don't know. I'm just telling you about me only. Y'all do whatever routine you do. I'm not, you know, I'm just telling you about me. That's all. It's my own personal thing. Is that if I go into a horoscope in the newspaper, you know, I used to read it and I just try to, oh, wow, that's really amazing. Oh, wow, Jesus. You know, and then you go to a dinner with somebody or whatever and you got a fortune. What does yours say, honey? Oh, mine says, you know, never read it. Oh, that's cute, isn't it? Well, you think that's a message for us? Oh, blah, 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 blah. It's all cute. But family, fortune cookies, horoscopes, witchcraft, seances, all these things, is just that, witchcraft. And those fortunes can come true. You know why? Because you've given permission by you engaging in these occultic type activities. And it is. I mean, look it up. I'm not being an old fogey. I'm telling you what it is. I mean, look it up on your own. It all goes along with witchcraft, fortunes, seances, and all that kind of thing. Defacing the body, There's no good thing about it. It just isn't. I've given permission for the demons to get, excuse me, to have more latitude in my life. And then I'll be easily swayed, easier swayed than before, once I give that permission. And by reading these fortune cookies, by reading these horoscopes, oh, I was going to tell you, they can make them come true. And seances can come true. Why? Because when you've given that permission by participating, demons go to work. And they can make certain events take place because they're assigned to you. Is that crazy or what? And actually make it happen. And you're going to think it's divine, and it won't be. You're putting a spell on yourself. That's what it's about. I've just put a spell on myself. Or allowed it to happen. These priests out here that do the exorcisms for real, and you see supernatural things flying around doing all this, there's a cooperation between this priests of the Catholic Church that do these things and the demons that are causing the sickness or the possession of the house or whatever. There's a cooperation between them. This comes from Alberto Rivera, whom they killed. He was a Jesuit priest. He confirms this in his testimonies that the priests that come in that actually do these exorcisms, that they make a big hoodoo about it, throwing things around, tearing things up, causing the person, whatever, and then leave because they're cooperating with each other. There's a cooperation. It's the same exact thing as witch doctors, voodoo, medicine men, rainmakers, and all these sort of things. Satan is prince of the air. You got the point? You see? It gives them power. Because then that sickness will come out because it started by a demon in the first place. Or the demons will leave with a show of things flying around and all that and leave. And it's like, oh, priest, thank you very much. We so appreciate. And it gives them power. And that's why Satan causes that to happen, by collaboration. Now, I can say that because, you see, Constantine was a worshiper of Baal, sun god. He came in to placate the Christians because they're dying in the Colosseums before Constantine in Rome was actually converting people in the stands. It was working opposite what Satan wanted. To wipe them out, God changed it. People were responding positively. And the Christians were going to heaven. Even had I can never find the name of that Roman commander. Anyway, Roman commander in Rome. Well, that would be true, wouldn't it? Who was the one in charge of funneling the Christians to the lions and all that. If I remember his name, if anybody can figure it out, give me an email. Just one day, he took his armor off and joined the Christians to go outside and die with them. But there's not death. The body dies. The soul goes to be with heaven, with God. The body will meet him up later. It's called the rapture. In all cases, God takes his people out of the tribulation, whatever. Now, whether he sends them somewhere on another part of the planet, you know, or protects them with the, whatever it does, or kills the body and takes the soul, whatever it does, he protects his own. Sodom and Gomorrah, the flood, David, he always protects them in some way. And dying is protection. People are afraid of death. Why? You're going to die anyway. It's just where your soul is going to go is the problem. That's what you should be afraid of. That's called the second death. The first death is when the body dies. Well, yeah. And the second death, those, if you're cut off from God, man, you do not want that, because that's permanent. Man, you don't earn your way back to heaven. Let me tell you, there's no little old ladies down there set up that you can crawl across the street and give, do good deeds. How do you do good deeds in hell? Tell me about that one. Well, they ain't telling you about this stuff. It's not right. Man, when you die, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. I don't like using movies all the time, but sometimes I'll use a movie, I guess. And you had this movie, Patrick Swayze, and it called Ghost or something, right? And it pretty much is like it is. I mean, well, no, never mind. It's like right that moment, if they're evil, they go to hell. The only part about Ghost that wasn't right was he kind of hung around like a ghost. Nah, I take it back. The part about them going to hell is true. The other part is he goes straight to heaven. It's one of the two. No in between. You don't just hang around and eat ghost soup. You just don't hang around at Starbucks, drink coffee, and haunt it. It don't work that way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's a better example. I don't know why I use ghost. I guess the only part I thought about it, right then, the ones that were evil in that movie, they got taken down with those shadow men. And that's true. It's called the shadow people. So they use some truth in these movies, but those of you that's been studied, you know about the shadow people. And the man with the hat. These are demons, no matter what you call them. They're demons. Spiritual warfare is what the Pentagon should be learning. If they did, they would close down the Pentagon. Yeah, maybe that's why they're not doing it, huh? They'll call a Pentagon for nothing. Family, that's an occultic symbol, that building. September 11th, 1941, is Masonic dedication. September 11th, 1966, was the dedication of the World Trade Center. And you know, most of those floors were empty since the day it was built. Family, that building was built to come down in 1966. That building was built to be a satanic sacrifice the day that it was built by the secret orders, Druids, high-level Freemasonry. That was what took the building down. Because by the year 2000, they had planned a military takeover of the world. I've explained this before. The tick-off point was Kosovo, June 1999. It never happened. It was sure set up to go. World War III was to be manufactured by December 1999. And by the year 2000, the New World Order had been taken over. And by 2001, September, a sacrifice of the World Trade Center was to take place. And the purpose of that was to usher in major high-level demonic entities, fallen angels, into this realm. That's what that was for. Inside job, you're right. Inside job on steroids, you might say, on the highest level, worldwide level. According to the Illuminati planning process, that Wesak festival is major coming up here in May. Satan attends these festivals. You understand this? Spiritual warfare? Yeah, right. A very interesting period occurred in the year 1966. And it persisted all the way to 1999. And that was a major period of time between 66 and 1999 that the Illuminati was working hard for the fallen angels. They're called the Great Ones. Yeah, right. And they were making due preparation. It was a centennial effort of the Lodge and of the personages of the fallen angels. You see, each century sees a centennial effort of the Lodge. That's the Great White Brotherhood of the Fallen Angels. And they're moving it, what they say, to forward the ends of evolution, as they tell their initiates. And the effort for the 20th century will be upon a larger scale than has been the case for a very long time. And involved a number of the Great Ones. The Great Ones are nothing more than ascended masters, what they think are aliens, but are fallen angels, and they're headed to hell. And there's nothing they can do about it. The effort started pretty much during the 19th century with Helena Blavatsky. And a fairly large number of what's referred to as Chelas. That's humans that from birth have been endowed with the entities of the fallen angels inside of them. I just get right down to it. And they've been working ever since. And what they hate is the name of Jesus. What they hate is to have you knowledgeable about spiritual warfare. That's why I try to keep you busy. Buddha has a lot to do with this. The Christ, they call also. Tibet. Tibetans. Linked up to the New World Order. Linked up to the Great White Brotherhood. The Dalai Lama. Seriously involved in this. You notice how he comes across like a little old bald-headed man? That how could he be, you could just invite him in, just bring him on in, do the head bump with him, and feed him some biscuits and gravy, whatever. But he's one of the most evil men on the face of this planet. He doesn't appear to be. Because they show you evil when he's dictators, right? So that's got to be evil. So how can this guy be evil? He's worse than they are. Because he's the link and the channel of the fallen angels to us, to mankind. Along with the other ones. And what they call the Great Lord. A medium of the Great Lord, they call it. Family, this is spiritual warfare at this highest level that we're talking about. And you got to know what you're dealing with or you'd be disarmed. You'd think that Cha Kang Kang or whatever would come into your house when you invite him into your dinner. Here, grasshopper, take this corn from my hand. No, it's way past that. Evil that you cannot even imagine. Rest with these entities and the humans that deal with them. We're at war, but it's a war of which mankind is not prepared for. And y'all got to hang in there. Because times are coming. Time's coming. Well, family, tonight, I want to talk about the beginnings part of spiritual warfare. It'll be several nights. I'll cover this because I see that more important. And I know, you got Nasara coming up and debt forgiveness and all this. That's going to take everybody's mind off of everything. And when things shape up, they're going to say, oh, we told you so. You all are just a bunch of religious hollerers and Bible thumpers and all this. And just shake your head. Mm-hmm. And just be ready. But you can't hold any judgment on those that come down on you because they're going to be coming back to you wanting to know what it was you said again. And you got to tell them. You're going to be real busy. Now, I mentioned this afternoon, I was going to tell you a bunch of things I am. And I put a lot of these broadcasts and Bible studies together as I go along. You know, sometimes I record these, well, I do it all the time. And I give it a name to what I think I'm going to talk about. And if I don't know what I'm going to talk about, I'm confident that I'm going to talk anyway. I'll tell you like it is. And I just put down broadcast for such and such a date. And then at the end of it, I say, well, what did I talk about? Now, sometimes I don't remember. And then I just put down what it was that I talked about because I let the Holy Spirit work through me. And that's just what happens. And there's been times I panicked 5-10 minutes before, like, I don't know what to talk about. And then I just go through with it. I play the music and start, and there it goes. And before I know it, I call somebody I know, a couple of people. What in the world did I talk about? I mean, that's really what happens. And I start putting things together as I go along. I mean, it's just the way it is, the way it's been for 4 years, actually. I let him run through me. You know, you got to prepare your hearts, family. You got to prepare your hearts. There's a story about a young girl named Sarah, granddaughter Sarah, a very young lady. And she told her parents one day that she wanted to be a basketball coach like her daddy. That's where she grew up. But she couldn't be one yet. Because first she had to be a player. And a player has to be able to tie their shoelaces. She couldn't tie her shoelaces yet. First things first is the lesson here. And the first thing in all of our life is to know God and enjoy Him. Acknowledging, knowing God helps us to become what we were meant to be. How many times we hear people pray, Lord, I want to know what it is that you want me to do in my life. I guess we kind of want them to say, well, I'm going to give you a Mercedes-Benz. I want you to be a CEO of the company. No, it's what can I do, Father, that you'll prepare me to help you do your will. What can I do to help you? Because, you see, He works through us when we allow Him to. It's not, Lord, I want to win this football game. Or it's not, Lord, I want to be able to run this touchdown. Or, Lord, I want to be the CEO of a company, have my own business. It's not about that at all. It's about doing His will. You know, King David's counsel, you know, to his son Solomon. Know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. That's the trick. You know, God can be known. He can be known. God's just not the energy of the universe. What's God? He's energy. He's all of us. Hold on there a minute there. Come on there, Dolly Mama. Come back down to earth, boy. God is a person. He's not a logical, theological kind of concept. These demons are like little persons. What do they got us believing? What is it they have us believing? They got us believing that demons are living in TV sets, which they are, but they got us believing that they're, you know, 8 foot tall, big old horns, gigantic, muscular, or ugly, or zombie looking. No, they're specks of light. And you see Satan. What's Satan? He's got big wings on the back of him. He's got big old horns, bulging muscles, or whatever. No, he's an orb. He's like a flying around, like a disco ball with wings. That's all it is, an orb of energy. Is this the one that ruled the nations? This orb of energy that God can squash anytime He wants to? That God's going to send to hell when it's over? Yes, that's the one. And these orbs, I saw an orb last night, they say. It was orange and red, it was floating over the trees. What they saw are fallen angels and certain different levels of demons out of the second heaven. That's what they've seen. If they look back in their past, four generations, they'll find either themselves involved in the seance, a Ouija board or something, or a mother, or a grandmother, grandfather, whatever, or a great-grandmother, great-grandfather, or a great-great-whatever, four generations back, was involved somehow in witchcraft, Freemasonry, or some other activities. Because somehow or another, when they've done this, they have a lack of protection from the Holy Spirit. When you see these flying saucer things going on, and they're up close and personal, you better do some heavy praying and checking in your family background to cut out that generational curse. Because you got one. Now, there are some people, however, that's been given the gift to be able to see these things. Not all of us can. That's another story. They're given the gift. Be able to pray against and see the evil. We all don't have the same gifts. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a family. First things first. God can be known. He thinks, he wills, enjoys, feels, loves, desires as any person does. We're in the image of God. He's not just an energy source. He's a person, and a big one too. So are those demons. But they are defeated. But remember, they're specks of light. Fallen angels are orbs. And the way they operate in this realm is by chelas, avatars, possession, manipulating body structure, DNA reconstruction, eugenics, to produce a body. See, the Frankenstein. Oh, Frankenstein. Okay. You know, all right, Frankenstein. That's kind of true in a way. Producing bodies in a way that the demons can inhabit. Family. You know, in 1985, they cloned a pharaoh. That's got my interest. I did a little bit of mathematics. That puts that person about 30-some years old, don't it? So there's your reincarnation. It's by taking the bodies. See, the fallen angels knew how to preserve the flesh because they knew what they wanted to do, but mankind had to be developed to be able to bring the technology to bring back the old body they used to have. Now you know why the explosion of science to get mankind, who didn't have a clue, using avatars, scientists. Leonardo da Vinci was an avatar. Now you got the point? Plato. Lincoln was an avatar. Gandhi. This is the bigger picture, I'm telling you. To bring about major changes for humanity is what they used avatars for. Humankind, because they don't have bodies. However, world wars, a lot of death, gives enough life energy away that they can absorb it and for a short period of time can occupy this physical realm by their constructed bodies. Before the flood, they could walk around freely. That's why they're called the sons of God. And they could actually cohabitate with a woman, the daughters of men. They had DNA, but a different DNA. You see how this works? Complicated. They want you to make you think that there's something more than what they are. For fear, rewards, and pleasure, other things. So they can occupy the physical space. They must take on a flesh body to operate and control flesh people. They invocate them, in other words, at the Bilderberg meetings, UN meetings, Bohemian Grove. They invoke them into that location by child sacrifice, by invocations, ritual. Now you know where 1 million of children goes a year. Let's get down to it. Fires cause a lot of energy. Release of life force of plants, animals, and that life force is absorbed, allows them to operate. Because God, no pun intended, shut down their ability to operate after the flood. And further reduced when Jesus Christ went to cross the Calvary. Y'all getting the point here, how this works? And they're really going to get cut short when they're sent to hell when Jesus Christ comes back. Because you can't occupy the same space with evil. And God's going to clean it out like Roto-Rooter when he comes down. Evil and good cannot reside the same space. Whoa. You know, knowing God, A.W. Tozer wrote, quote, "He's a person and can be known in increasing degrees of intimacy as we prepare our hearts for the wonder of it." There is the rub. We must prepare our hearts. You see, the Lord is not playing hard to know. He's got it written down in the King James Bible, Cambridge edition, I'll be exact. And those who want to know him can actually know him. He won't force his love on us, but does wait patiently. He wants to be known by you. Knowing him is the first thing in your life. Miles said, quote, "He walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Don't think that you're so low that he won't want to know you personally, because he does. But we are sinners. Okay. How do you become unsinner? Except Jesus Christ as Savior. He'll guide you along. We'll still sometimes, I did, fall back. But he's right there to guide you back in the eyes. Well, people looking for proof, aren't they? Show me. And that what's that state called? Show me state. Show me. I'm one of the worst, I gotta tell you right now. He's took that away from me, thank goodness. But because I made myself, along my life experience, just me, to be one of the most stubborn people on the world, as I saw it. I like that, even in the Marine Corps. I just my nature, just the way it is. I'm a disbeliever. I'm stubborn, hard-headed, and I always go against the grain. People going that way, I want to go back and see why they're leaving the other way. I always go opposite. It's just my nature. Well, God took that away from me on his regard. And everything he says, I do. If I can't, I need help, Lord. I ain't afraid to ask for it. I'm still rebellious against humankind. Just am. But I don't like bullies. I don't like seeing people hurt. I don't like seeing animals hurt. I don't like seeing people do things, bad things to people. That's the way it is. But I don't like authority figures. My authority figure is Jesus Christ. I keep focused on that. Now, to keep us off track, what keeps us off track is change. Or something else is fear. change of routine, as in the music. So we were lulled into a sense of family orientation for World War One, World War Two, World War Three. Well, World War One, World War Two, up to 1950s and 60s. We were lulled into a false sense of security. Sing along with Mitch, My Three Sons. You got it? The big band days of calm music. Because they wanted that cohesion, family unit, all that, to foment patriotic fervor. After it's over with, now let's destroy everything. Here come rock and roll music. That was designed by Tavistock for that purpose. Let's change the music. Let's change the photos. Let's change the drugs. Let's do all that to make a change. So when you see fear is one of the biggest things. So are you going to be afraid of a little orb, for example, a little light of energy? No. But what will you fear? Some monster. So these orbs, for example, these demonic entities, can take the formation and shape of Aunt Martha. Oh, gosh, there's Aunt Martha. Maybe eat that squash. But no, they take on other forms. They can do that. Demons can take the shape and form. In other words, they have these forms in the second heaven of unbelievable type of beings. When they come in on this earth, they can take the shape and form of someone that you know. It's called familiar spirits. As a matter of fact, in the 1950s, and I've seen documented testimony of these fallen angels, people that knew them, sort of, was that the claim was that the fallen angels were the UFOs in the 1940s and 50s. It was going 4,000 miles per hour and did a right-hand turn. Man, nothing physical could do that. That's right, it didn't. It wasn't physical. So these beings can take different shapes and forms to cause you to have fear. But using the name of Jesus, spiritual warfare, you can defeat them. So can they take on monstrous forms? Oh yeah, they sure can. And one more thing about that. When you're into a seance of sort, for example, and you notice in some cases the seance leader, whatever she is, Madame Zora, we'll say, I don't know, no offense to anybody named Zora, I just use that as a hypothetical name. Everybody hold hands and put your feet together and hold hands together and all that. You know what she's doing? She's distributing the energy throughout everybody, not only to be connected, to be possessed, but also so she won't burn up. Because if she receives that energy flow into her fully, of that demon that's going to set this stage, you ever heard of spontaneous combustion? It's kind of like if you've got a computer or you got other kind of devices in your house and you got a lot of energy fluctuation. It's going to wear that thing down. Well, it's going to wear that body down. That's why those people possessed at the highest level of government, after they leave office, don't they get old really quick? Yeah. Because when you allow the demonic entity to come inside you through your blood oath and your ritual, as in movie stars, as in presidents, it takes up your life force. It's used like somebody tapping in Duke Power Company, you understand? It wears down your wires and your skin, and your life energy is drained away. And 100% of the time, they'll give you rewards for what you're doing, talent, knowledge, abilities you never thought you had before, but there's a payback. The payback is your life force has been sapped away, and they will kill you. Always. They will never let someone who signed their name over to Lucifer for extra skills, abilities. And sometimes, if you give up a loved one, they'll advance your career. And that's what's done in a lot of cases. A grandmother, an uncle, a loved one will give you advancement. And that's what they do. They'll justify, well, they're old anyway, but, you know, or something. And that life force has been extinguished. You'll be rewarded, but they're still going to kill you anyway. And you're still going to go to hell. And if you start to pull away from them, and usually, like in movie stars, it's like 27 to 32 years old. Their bodies have been used up by their music career, by their acting career, by their whatever career in Hollywood. They freak out around 27 to 32 years of age, commit suicide, or they're taken off the scene, re-educated, and then brought back out. But they're different always. That's what's going on. This is the bigger picture. And there's always a trade-off when you make a deal with the devil. Well, spiritual warfare. I'm going to talk about that, spiritual warfare, and we'll see how far we get with that tonight. I just lay the groundwork. So, this will be part one, Tuesday. And somebody asked me a question about the orbs. And family, understand, it is massively, I mean, mind-boggling, complicated of what's out there in the supernatural world. It's just, we think we're smart as humans. Man, we don't know one thing about it. Because our bodies cannot understand it. Why? Because you're held down by flesh. In other words, for you to understand more, you'd have to increase your energy level more. Well, your energy level is encased by this carbon water-based unit called flesh. You understand what I'm saying here? So what happens if you take a iron filament wire and you put plastic on over top of it? You get my point? And then you have energy parts on one side and the other. And you turn it past, I'm not an electrician, but you go past, I'm just guessing here, 30 amps or something, I don't know. You only take 30 amps or something, and if I'm 30 watts or whatever it is. But I want to really check it out, so I crank it up to 100. What's going to happen to that wire? It's going to burn, melt, and psh, that's called spontaneous combustion. But if I use a copper wire, different DNA, or supernatural, spiritual, copper wire. Copper DNA is what the hybrids are made of, by the way. It's not fully iron or carbon. That's actually true. You see what happens? So you can't increase your knowledge because your body would explode, would burn. That's spontaneous combustion. Your body's not made to be supernatural. This is quantum physics, biology. See, there's more to this philosophical, you know, the religious part that people realize. A lot more. You're up against supernatural beings, family, that uses human beings as their pawns. And they don't want you to know the truth of how spiritual warfare operates. So demonized. Can Christians be demonized? Can a Christian be possessed by demons? That's something that preachers don't talk about today. You may have a few that do, but very, very few. And if you say, well, you're being demonized, they get all mad at you. I'm a Christian. I go to church every day. I go to church every Wednesday and Sunday. How dare you say, yeah, okay. If you're a Christian, then you're possessed ownership by God. But you're demonized by spirits, if you allow it to happen. That's why you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, to keep them away from you. They know your weaknesses. and they'll capitalize on those weaknesses. They can, in other words, let's say you're a womanizer and your weakness is women, or you're a manizer, your weakness is men, or whatever, or you're a drugizer or something. Anyway, Satan will know by trial and error what your weakness is. And by demonic possession, by demonic influence, he'll set this thing up. You understand how this goes? Deliver me from temptation. You see, God knows it's coming. You trust in him. You see how that works? He'll deliver you from temptation. He knows it's coming. He knows it before Satan even figures it out. So God will counteract it. This is what's going on around you right now. Every day. Every minute. And there's no way around it. No way to escape it. Now you may just watch TV all the time. Just sit there and look at the TV. How you doing, Tom? There's an avalanche coming. Okay. That's almost true, that people are so mesmerized by the TV, by the IG, 4G, phone, whatever. Look at the professional wrestling bouts. Look at the Super Bowl. They're paying thousands of dollars for one ticket to see a Super Bowl that some people can't see except with binoculars. Yet they're pulled into it. Where's God in all this? He ain't there. That's for sure. And yet everybody prays we'll get this touchdown. Does that glorify God? Oh, I've been there. I'm not innocent. You get the touchdown, you praise God. Okay. For what? Or we praise ourselves because we won. Where's God in all this? Give me that glass football. I want to kiss it. Amongst all that slobber, everybody else has kissed it. For what? Family, that's an idol. It's an idol. Well, this pains me to talk about this because I've been so involved in it myself, but this is really contrary to what we're told. But it's true. Technicality, but it confuses many believers. You as a believer can attend church on a regular basis and still be demonized. It means that there's areas in our personality where we're not in full control. So you may still attend service but are affected by demons. A demon can be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you, he can force a demon out. It's even true for sickness. Some of you out there that knew God, knew the Holy Spirit was with you, can tell a doctor, well, I'm sorry, but you're not going to walk again. I'm sorry, but this is going to kill you or something. You're ready to accept that, but you pray that it doesn't happen. You say, God is in your hands, and you're ready to accept whatever God leads you, but you know he's in control. You see? You don't say, well, God, if I get out of this, I'll make a deal with you. No, God's in your hands. But I think God wants me to live. If it be your will, Father, then I'm ready to go. Because you know God's going to be there for you. The doctor, whatever. You know, they got theories. They got medicine that's there to work against you. But God does the healing. That sometimes stupefies doctors. That sometimes, if God wants you to come home, no matter what the doctors do, he's going to bring you home. We did everything we could, but it's time for you to come. And babies that are born and die, or you don't know what God's got in store for that baby, that he may want to bring him home because he saved him. Who knows? But leave it in God's hands. if those who've committed abortions. Listen, you've got to forgive yourself, no matter what. Satan's going to use that as a weakness. When you ask God to forgive you, you're sorry for what you did, then he's forgiven you. You don't need to be holding yourself in contempt anymore. Satan will use that against you. He will say, that's your legacy. Well, no, it's not, because my Savior forgave me. So who are we, and who's Satan, to not forgive ourselves or him to forget, to say he didn't forgive us, because he did. And then to see that child again, you become born again, because you know God took him. You'll see him again. All's well, because you're forgiven. But as long as you hold yourself in contempt, God will too, because you've got to forgive yourselves first. And you can do that. When God forgives you, who are you to not forgive yourselves? If the creator of this universe forgives you, why do you still hold yourself in contempt? No. Let it go, but only through Jesus. In churches, you may have members in church who are sick and different illnesses and so forth. A lot of cases, it's nothing but affliction of demonization. To be delivered from the sickness, you got to be delivered from the demon. Is this every case? No. But a lot of cases. You'll find some of them are in Freemasonry, because it goes to four generations, a curse. I mean, I'm telling you, it's what it is. You got to get out of there. You know those blood oaths can't be good when you take them. You know something's got to be wrong with them when you swear to God to tell a lie. There's a problem there. I mean, and all the good deeds of the world will not wipe it clean. The good deeds count against you. Right now, diseases are being caused by vaccinations. Right now, disasters are being caused by HARP and so forth. Here's the rub. They're blaming it on God. It's not God doing these things. In the very beginning of the tribulation period, there would be wars, rumors of wars. There'll be all these things happen in the first 3.5 years when the tribulation begins. It doesn't say that Jesus is going to cause it. He just says there's going to be in diverse places. Satan's going to cause it. God's going to let him. And then Satan's going to blame God. But when you have faith, you'll see through that. But the more and more our country turns away from God with legislation being changed, boy, you're asking for it now. You see, that's what's happening. That's how Satan's getting over. It's spiritual warfare. Now, very few churches you hear about how to fight spiritual war, use spiritual warfare. Actually, you'll find in a lot of black churches, black American, black churches, very, very spiritual. I mean to tell you. And the reason for that, I'm not going to go in detail right now because I've talked about this before, but the white folk made the blacks slaves in 1712 till 1960s and even beyond. It's all planned out though. The white folk just fell into it. That's no excuse. But the blacks were put in subjugation and bondage. And every time you have when the white folk were put into bondage in Europe by being murdered by the Vatican, I've been talked about that for a long time, 1200 to 1800 AD. What happens from a first level of bondage, you develop a spiritual faith. It goes with exactly in line. You get courage, then you want independence. Now, those are four stages they use. So the blacks have been in outward public bondage since 1712. That's like four, five, six generations. Well, from there, it developed spiritual faith because of that affliction that we put on in this so-called Bible Belt. But as a result of that, very, very spiritual. Very strong and spiritual. You go to some of these white churches, I'm telling you, like it is. Man, they're dead as doornails. You go in there, but just sit there. Just sit there. They're not spiritual at all. Then you got the extreme, charismatics. Man, they're up and running, falling around, rolling on the floor like they're on fire. Screaming, yelling, that tongues thing going on. That tongues isn't of this century. At all. That's a little too far, because that is demonic influence. But family is about Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm saying is going to make some people mad, I guess. But if you look at it, you're going to see this is true. My opinion is here, is that when this thing goes down, the blacks in this country are going to raise up a spiritual uplift. Yep, that's what I believe. Because these churches that are just placated, and they're going to freak out, man. They're going to freak out bad because they're not being prepared for the day of the Lord. It's going to be a roller coaster ride, let me tell you. And it's all about spiritual warfare. And when they start seeing real demons and Nephilim, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. You as a believer can attend a church and still be demonized when you fall back. You know, it's not that these preachers don't know about demons. You know, it's even the first subject that Jesus Christ talks about whenever he speaks on the works within the church. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Well, they removed that verse from the Bible, by the way. Except for the King James, they didn't. That's your first lesson and your first major weapon against demonic activity is Matthew 17:21. By prayer and fasting to be able to take on the demonic realm. And it is coming, if you haven't already, some people. Like these abductions, people have been testimonies of where folks have awakened at night with these little gray things at the foot of their bed, and out of fear, of course, they screamed out the name of Jesus. Yeshua ain't going to get it. Yahweh, say what? Ain't going to get it either. Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, get what? Ain't going to work. It's the name of Jesus. God knows your heart. It's Jesus is the name that you use as your weapon. And believe he'll be there. It may take fear to cause that to happen. He tells us to cast out demons. And his ministry, he taught disciples to do this first. So, why don't our churches do it? Or would they scare people away? Can you imagine? Some of these lukewarm churches. Where do you go? I go to the First Baptist Church. We just sit there. We learn how to love each other. Okay. What happens when a demon comes? A demon? Oh, I don't get into all that. Oh. They give you all these lukewarm lessons. Dr. Feelgoods. Well, it's going to get down to warfare, family. And deliverance. And facing ahead some big sucker that's called a Nephilim or some demonic realm that you're going to have to face coming up. Still here. and talk it down through the name of Jesus. Now, with your knees knocking, it ain't going to work too well. With fear, it ain't going to work at all. It's going to get dramatic. I don't think people realize what's coming. Why do they take a parishioner out of the church who acts out and has a demon? Why would a church not help you if you think your home is affected with demons? The wicked do it. They come in and bless your house. Say, what? Yeah. There's a cooperation there. They were told by Jesus Christ that you're to go out and tell others, but they don't, do they? The answer is, in the early days, the church thought they could improve upon Jesus' technique. The Roman Catholic Church decided to cast out demons. You need a specialist, what they call an exorcist, see? Goes for your home. So a tradition started then. It's been passed down through all churches to this day. But there's two things that Satan don't want revealed. One, that he and demons actually exist. Number two, that you, whoever's listening, has the authority through Jesus Christ over the demons. You don't need to run down to the local cathedral. It's between you and God. But you better have a strong relationship with God. It's a clash between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And these secrets, it reveals the supremacy of God's kingdom over Satan's. So he's got to keep you busy, got to keep you in fear always, and keep your mind off the game. That's why they talk about Fukushima and Agenda 21 and FEMA camps and guillotines and little colored dots on your mailbox, or we found a new Bible, you know, or the search for Anu Nanu or something. I don't know, all that stuff. It's to keep us all busy. I mean, it's really exotic stuff to know. It's all fun and all. But what's it got to do about salvation? Nothing. Once I learn how to defeat it through spiritual warfare, I don't really care what they do. Because they're going down. No pun intended. You know that all the miracles were previewed in the Old Testament of the Bible except one? It was deliverance, casting out of demons. And that's a distinctive mark of the progression and the continuation between the two, the Old and New Testament. You know that there's demons that's going to follow generations within the family? Four generations? I'll say it again. You know, most people that's dealing with a member within their church, which has been affected by financial, health, or other issues, because one demon carries with it many others, and these demons affect the church and oppress it to the point, actually, where several members of one family can be attacked. And there's even several members within the families also, and it slows the process of the church growth and development, causes division. But in the same light, demons are also persons. Not just some kind of philosophical evil running around. These are persons with names. You know, they're a spirit, of course, but they also have a personality. Three objectives of a demon. Number one is torment and torture. That's why your Wicca, your children get involved in Wicca through Ouija boards and being bullied. And the Wicca know. The Wiccans in the high schools. Young girls that are in Wicca, or young boys in Wiccan, they know the ones bullied need help. They're not getting at home. Teachers aren't helping. But we'll help you. We believe in love and light. And those are evil. But we believe in love and all this and all that. Oh, man. No. That's the hook. But there's three objectives of a demon. It's torment and torture. and also to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ. Number three is to keep you from serving Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the last two, keep you from knowing Jesus Christ, keep you from serving Jesus Christ, is what's going on in the churches. Especially the mega churches, especially mega churches. As long as they give you a good feeling when you leave, that's what they want. And let you believe that when you do good deeds, that's going to get you saved. Well, it's not. It's not going to do it. You've got to admit your sin to Jesus Christ. It's called confession. Say, Lord, I don't want to do it again. Repentance. You have flesh issues, spiritual issues. Through wisdom, discernment, to determine the two before you're going to know if there's an affliction or demonization. And the remedies of these two are completely different. See, if you're in a state of depression and dealing with a state of flesh issue, for example, and you're trying to crucify a demon or nar cast out of flesh, now, I ask you, are you dealing with the flesh or a demon? When you go to Hebrew and Greek, it has the same name for a spirit, but also means wind. Ruach, R-U-A-C-H. Have you ever seen the wind, but you feel it? Same for demons. Normally, people can't see demons because they have a different hierarchy. Some of them manifest themselves into the realm. Others possess. Others can't, but they affect you. Now, how do you know they're there? Okay, some characteristics. One is enticement. You kind of go into a store. Now, we attribute this to ourselves a lot of times, but family, listen, you're not going to like this, some of you, but I don't like saying it because it's so out of whack, but it's actually true. Using HARP, technology, microchips, all this sort of thing, the governments has been able to make synthetic demons. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I said that. But they can do that. By affecting your DNA. How they focus you specifically? By the microchips. Like shooting a beam at that directed microchip of electromagnetic energy. By different hertz, raising and lowering the energy level of it affects your energy, which is your soul. Family, that's what this mark of the beast will do. It's like identifying you anywhere on the face of the earth. Now, the demons do the same thing, but they have their own energy force. Like a demon of lust will have a certain frequency vibration. A demon of anger, that's the name of it, will have a certain frequency vibration to be able to cause you to act that way. It matches it. It causes you to, okay, I got number 8.2 hertz, okay? And then mine is 8.2, 0.25, whatever hertz, my DNA signature, something like that. All right? So the demon will know your weakness, will match that frequency, come inside you, and then start manipulating you because it matches that frequency. Whew, that's the best way to explain it. Now, they want to target a city, a house. They identify it with HARP, with that grid square or that little area, and they'll cause it. And you'll start feeling something bad, like chemtrails in a town. And they'll blanket that town with 6.6 hertz and cause people to get lethargic, tired, sleepy, or 10.3 hertz, 10.6 hertz, will cause everybody to get angry, agitated, irritated, angry, yeah. And people won't know why. That's why. That's making synthetic demonic activity. And the demons individually can do this. Y'all see how this is? I don't explain this simply. That's what they're doing. That's why they're causing people to kill themselves. They can hypnotize you while you sleep. But if you're protected by the blood of Jesus, it's not going to work. That's the part they haven't been able to figure out yet. So they're going to cause you to fail in some way. Get you to become weak. Family, I'm sorry this is going on, but this is what's happening. This is what's going on in people. And running away from it's not going to solve it. Here comes a train, and I'm stuck on the track, and I'm trying to outrun the train. It ain't going to make it, man. You ain't going to make it. But you expect God to pull you out. And if I die, he's going to take my soul. So what? As long as you know where you're going. And you've got the ticket. And ticket's Jesus Christ. You enter a store. You see a gold pin on the floor. Someone must have dropped it. The voice tells you, pick it up. Anything that comes to you in words comes from a person. Demons are persons. Now, here's a point I was going to make a little while ago. They can actually synthesize and put thoughts in your head by directing ELF transmissions. Yeah, they can. They can do that. Well, demons can too. Let's call another one, harassment. For example, a businessman in the office has a bad day. He's a little angry. He's a little agitated. On his way home, he's stuck in traffic. When he's finally home, the food's not ready. Children are running around wild, Indians in the house, all right? At that moment, he just blows his top, loses control, screams, yells, shouts. So the demon of anger that's been following around all day slips on in there because that is a frequency vibration. You've not controlled it. God, help me with this temper. Help me with this anger. Oop, you just shut him down. But he doesn't do that. Screams and shouts and yells. When this takes place, it's a slightly different person. And let me tell you something. I know for an absolute fact that when I've had personal experience with this, I knew somebody for 30-some years a certain way. I knew them for a long time. When I met them 3 years ago, I worked for them. And I was talking about the New World Order and Jesus and while I was working. Doing what I was doing. And there was friction between us. I've known this friend since 1973. And it wasn't the same. I couldn't figure it out. We had a lot of friction between us that normally wasn't. I couldn't figure it out. 3-4 months later, when things kind of reached a pinnacle, a peak, whatever, we had a discussion one day. And here's a long story short. He said, you know, Tom, I'm a 33rd degree Mason. I said, what? I said, who killed who? What? Come again with that. And he's completely different. When you become a 33rd degree, you go through rituals and so forth, but you will be endowed with a demonic entity. You'll have trouble with your family. You will not be able to sleep normally. You'll look at things differently. You'll be a changed person, but not in a good way. You may be successful, but you'll be placated until the final draw. But this person, it's harassment, the actions hurt the people it loves and those around them. And the ones in Wicca go from one extreme to the other. Like, what? What did he say? What did I do? He's never been like that before. Yeah, that's why. His actions hurt the people he loves the most. Change his personality like night and day. Sly little devils they are. In the moment of weakness, they slip in. Deliver me from evil. You see that prayer. Let's say torment, for example. The demons torment spiritually with words in the head like, God really doesn't love you. No one really saved. that torment you mentally, physically, disease or common ailment or arthritis or some way, they can cause these things. They can cause someone around you to get sick or hurt, knowing it's going to distract you or interrupt you. Different places. Family, this is what happens. This is what's going on. Compulsion. Demons kind of compel you to do things you would normally do. Cussing is a common demon. I had a problem with that for a while. I never did like that GD word. But I'd say other things. When mine was a temper. Because I liked it. That was a problem. You know, people rarely spit out such things as caught saying horrible words. Why'd you say that? I don't know. I just felt like it. Yeah. Enslavement. People can sin or stop sinning if they decide. For example, a man gets drunk, decides he's done with liquor, drinks no more. He sinned, but he's not enslaved. But an alcoholic is a man who can't stop drinking. He's enslaved. Cigarettes, other things that pull us away. Example. Family, this is what happens. I'm not getting ready to sell you a CD or, you know, for $19.99. I'm going to sell you a set of CDs to get ready. I ain't doing that. I'm just telling you what's happening. You know, I'm telling you what's going on. People don't understand this. And you tell people that just go to church this, they'll think, oh, man, you're crazy. But it's actually true. Whoa, we're already, what happened to the time? Anyway, okay, part one today. I got a whole lot more to talk about on this, certainly, rest this week. And we'll get to deliverance and how to deal with it. And I want to talk about the four things that God wants you to know. I'll do that tomorrow night. In detail, and prayer and warfare. We'll get to that tomorrow night. I want to get through this basics of how demons operate. Because you got to know your enemy. It's called intelligence analysis. Intelligence estimate. Father, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for bringing people in that we all can share in this together. Father, guide us in our futures coming up, Lord, that give us wisdom, discernment to deal with what's set up. That, Lord, to prepare us for the way we can witness to others, help lead others, and, Father, keep us strong with the blood of Jesus to cover us for any attacks from demonic or outside influence. To give us that wisdom, discernment to know the Word of God. And, Father, give us the courage to be able to lead us through it to help others. Father, we also pray for more studies. And Father, that we can help do thy will. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You know, one person I've found does a pretty good job is Derek Prince. He has good books on spiritual warfare. And Ingram. I think it's Ingram. Ingram. Invisible War. Some others out there. Well, family, you have a great night. And what have I got here before me? I got, oh, yeah. SOS recipe. United States Marine Corps style. You ever had SOS? Like gravy on a, don't tell my doctor that. I was going to make some the other day. That blood pressure, pshaw, but it's sure good. Used to drink that when I was a young lieutenant at the mess hall. Family, y'all have a great night tonight. And I don't know what they got planned. I'm not a prophet or nothing like that, but you can see the signs of the times. They got something up and running. Something's going on. And this spring, you know, they keep saying something, something, something. Something could happen in the Super Bowl. Who knows? Family, but all this trying to figure out the rapture, trying to figure out what the Antichrist looks like, once saved, always saved, discussion, arguments, rapture before, after, all that stuff doesn't mean it's a hill of beans. Family, it's just distraction for all of us. You know, you could study for hours and hours and days and weeks and you're never going to figure out when the rapture is going to happen. But you'll know it when it does. And it's going to be too late. You can never figure out when the second coming is going to happen. And if you do, it has never happened. You've wasted your time. You could be witnessing to others. You can't sit on the fence. And when I'm trying to teach people and train people myself and witness to people, when someone says, I can't say MF here or BS there, I can't continue with those words because then it takes away from my message. If I was to continue those words, you see? There's a change of your life when you start working the will of God. Y'all have a good night. Sleep well. Jesus already won. Don't let him put fear in you. But be very aware. Be ready. Because he's alive and he is coming back. But don't try to anticipate it. Just be ready now. So y'all have a good night. God bless. We'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. And let y'all know that we are played up in north in highportradio.net. Now you give John Herkler, give him a hand up there. Y'all up there in New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, because he's got our programs. He plays on a random basis. He's got a whole load of sponsors there. Go to his website, highportradio.net. He's a good man. He is interested in our Bible studies. That told me some things there. And that's pretty much my sell on it. That's it. Just to tell you all to go up there. I don't get anything for it. You know, my trouble started when I started taking a sponsor on. When I was doing broadcasting at the first 3 years or so at LBN and TME, no money exchanges. I didn't even have anything on my website. No donate, no nothing. And when I started acquiring, I thought innocently, a sponsor, when my trouble started, they suggested I put a donate button. Oh, okay. And then they suggested, and I had to, give to Lisa K. Candles or whatever. And then I just wanted to help them pay the money. So I said, y'all take care of it. That was dumb on my part. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But all I wanted to do was do my 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever and broadcast and then move on. I just should have been more watchful of who I was talking to. But that's when my trouble started, by taking in money and selling stuff and all this sort of thing. Because the first 3 years, I didn't do any of it. I ain't doing it now. My idea is to preach the word of God the best I can. That's all I care about. But really, that's all I care about. Nothing else. Anyway, so help John there. Because he's playing our songs randomly. And also, Blue Raven Network plays simulcasts us. And KBLU Radio plays our broadcast and Bible studies. So y'all have a great night. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4. Or 7:30 tomorrow night. Good night and God bless. Signing off. My confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. have a good night, and God bless. We'll see y'all tomorrow.